SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and we're starting the draw, and John Asher is here at the podium. So let's listen in a little bit. John White is going to join us, and we'll get instant analysis, much like we did yesterday with Johnny D. This day with John, there's the pretty gold trophy. Really an elegant. It's funny because the Belmont and Preakness trophies are big and ornate, and the Derby trophy is much more reserved and simple and elegant. Let's listen in to John Asher, the old Hilltopper himself.
Possibly sob a little bit between now and then. We get an extra day to worry about what's going to happen on the first Saturday in May. But once these proceedings are finished, we'll know the post positions for the 23-year-old thoroughbreds that will contest the race that has been run here at Churchill Downs since May 17th, 1875. We have 21 horses entered for this year's Kentucky Derby, so there will be an also eligible in the race. That also eligible is Blended Citizen, who was the winner of the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park. He's on the also eligible list, and should there be a scratch from the Derby before 9 a.m. on Friday, on Kentucky Oaks Day, and the start of wagering for the Kentucky Derby, the advanced wagering of the Kentucky Derby, he will have the opportunity to draw into the field. But 23-year-old thoroughbreds and Blended Citizen, who, if he gets into the race, will give trainer Doug O'Neill an opportunity to win his third Kentucky Derby. He will draw in if there is, or have the opportunity to draw in if there is a defection from the field of 20 for the run for the Roses. Let me introduce the people on the stand here with me. Great group that we've been with for many years. First of all, taking care of all the draw activities here, our racing secretary, Ben Huffman. He'll be drawing the entry sheets out, and next to him, our assistant racing secretary, Dan Bork. And Dan will be the man who will be pulling the pills, the 20 pills that will determine the post positions in this blind draw for post position for the Kentucky Derby. Officials to the back of those gentlemen. Starting here with the man at my left, and that I do that because he's my boss, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Flannery, the president of Churchill Downs Racetrack. Barbara Borden, the chief steward for the Commonwealth of Kentucky and the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. Barbara, great to have you with us. And again, a very important man next to her, and this is Justin Paul. He is he is vice president and associate general counsel for Churchill Downs and Churchill Downs Incorporated. And as I mentioned every year, he's here just in case litigation should break out in these proceedings. We appreciate having Justin here. So. All right, here is the process. And again, thanks to all of you for being here, all owners, trainers, jockeys, everyone associated with the 20 horses going into the Kentucky Derby. We will have the blind draw for post positions. Again, Ben Huffman will shuffle, if he has not done so already, will shuffle the entry sheets. We'll draw the sheets out one at a time, and Dan Bork will then shake the bottle and pull out the pill for the post position for that entry. We will do the first 10. And then we will take a brief break, come back with the next 10, completing the field. Then we'll take another break, and we'll bring up our Churchill Downs odds maker, Mike Battaglia, who's been with us for a long time, our former announcer who called the Derby starting back in 1978. He started with a pretty good year. Start with a Triple Crown winner. That's not bad. And Mike's done the morning line here since 1975. So Mike will be coming up after that. So, gentlemen, if we are ready to roll.
Yes, we are.
Ben Huffman has shuffled the entries, and we're going to get ready to go. And Dan Bork will pull the pills for the official post-draw presented by Ram Trucks for the 2018 Kentucky Derby.
Number 15.
15, Instilled Regard, Jerry Hollendorfer, Drayden Van Dyke.
15, Instilled Regard, and from California, Jerry Hollendorfer has a stakes win with his horse earlier in the year. Hollendorfer, a Hall of Fame trainer, looking for his first victory in the Kentucky Derby.
Number three,
Promises Fulfilled, Dale Romans, Corey Lannery.
Number three, Promises Fulfilled, with Churchill Downs leading rider Corey Lannery aboard, the likely pace setter in this Kentucky Derby, and he should like it getting out of the gate close to the rail and post three. Promises Fulfilled.
Number 11.
11, Bolt D'Oro, Mick Ruiz, Victor Espinoza.
Bolt D'Oro draws post position number 11, the third pill drawn. Bolt D'Oro, of the outstanding two-year-olds of last year, runner-up in his most recent start in the Santa Anita Derby for owner-trainer Mick Ruiz.
Number 13.
13, Bravazo, Wayne Lucas, Louis Contreras.
Bravazo, a lot of history with Bravazo, owned by Calumet Farm, the leading owner in the history of the Kentucky Derby with 8 Kentucky Derby victories. Calumet Farm has bred 9 winners, and of course, D. Wayne Lucas, the Hall of Fame trainer, with 4 wins in the Kentucky Derby. Calumet's last Derby win in 1968.
Number 10.
10, My Boy Jack, Keith DeSormo, and Kent DeSormo, the rider.
My Boy Jack, coming off a win in the Lexington at Keeneland with the brother combo. Kent DeSormo, jockey, has won 3 Kentucky Derbies. Brother Keith looking for his first as a runner-up finish in the Run for the Roses.
Number 6.
6, Good Magic, Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz.
Good Magic draws number 6, the reigning juvenile champion in American racing, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last fall at Del Mar, and coming into the Kentucky Derby off a win in one of the most influential of Derby preps, the Toyota Bluegrass trainer Chad Brown, looking for his first victory in the Kentucky Derby.
Number 4.
4 is Flame Away, Mark Cassie, Jose Lascano.
Flame Away draws post 4, owned by John Oxley, who owned Monarcos, who won the 2001 Kentucky Derby. Mark Cassie, who very sturdy in his career here at Churchill Downs, a regular here at Churchill Downs, one of the top trainers in Canada, looking for his first win in the Kentucky Derby.
Number 14.
14, Mendelson, Aiden O'Brien, Ryan Moore.
Mendelson, winner of the UAE Derby in his last start and winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last fall at Del Mar, trying to become the first horse from Ireland to win the Kentucky Derby, the first UAE Derby to do the Derby double with the Kentucky Derby.
Number 1.
1, Ferenz Fire, Jason Service, Paco Lopez.
Ferenzi Fire, one of the top two-year-olds of last year, has had a good campaign coming up to the Kentucky Derby. Jason Service looking for his first win in the Run for the Roses. Ferenzi Fire draws the rail, and one more in this first segment. We have 9 in the gate so far. This will be the 10th.
Number 7.
7, Justify, Bob Baffert, Mike Smith.
I thought that one might get a reaction. Justify, the likely favorite for the Kentucky Derby, winner of the Santa Anita Derby, unbeaten in 3 starts, and as we know, trying to become the first horse to win the Derby without the benefit of a race as a 2-year-old since 1882. Justify draws post 7, a popular choice, and those are the first 10 positions in the 20-horse field for this year's Kentucky Derby. We're going to take a short break, let everybody take a deep breath. We'll be back in just a moment with the next 10 post positions for Kentucky Derby 144.
Well, right away, a few very notable elements to the first 10 horses drawn. And the fact, frankly, that Firenze Fire, a horse who's going to be 50-1, that draws the one hole that, I felt terrible for weeks. Ron Lombardi deserves a chance to be here. Having an outsider draw the one, obviously, is I'm not going to say preferable because that's not that's a terrible thing to say, but you know where I'm angled here. There's a very important pairing. Promises fulfilled and flame away shoulder to shoulder for those that are hoping that the pace heats up. That's a big benefit. And the two of them, promises fulfilled, we know is going to hightail it. And for them to draw together in the 3 and 4 hole, they're both going to go flame away, lapped on, promises fulfilled. And so if anything, that instantly gives you a feel for a little bit of some early inside lick. It also, for Justify from the 6 hole, or the 7 hole, I should say, that's a perfect scenario because Mike Smith will watch those two, really the best of the first 10 to draw. And really, Mendelson, too, the 14 hole, Mendelson gets that gap between the auxiliary gate and the main gate. And so, from that standpoint, Ryan Moore gets an open space to negotiate and to set Mendelson really into any, you know, any position that he wants. That was a very advantageous circumstance for Mendelson. So from these first 10, and Bolt Doro, I will make this note, Bolt Doro draws the 11, and you would think, well, that's in the middle of the gate, and it's not so, that's a problematic gate, because the horses, the 1 and the 11, the 2 and the 12, that's how they load. And so Bolt Doro will be one of the first horses that's loaded along with Firenze Fire. So he will have to stand for an extensive period, really. And, you know, Victor Espinoza, I'd have to look back and think about some of the Espinoza mounts, but Bolt Doro, who I don't think top of my head, I don't think that Bolt Doro has you know, really had other than I think he maybe the occasional maybe a bobble, but he's going to have to stand. And interesting, we'll see how Mick Ruiz, what his thoughts are as soon as possible. Just getting ready now to come back and draw the other 10 horses in here, and that includes, interestingly, all of the Pletcher horses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, the none of the Pletcher horses were drawn. What are the odds of that? Four out of the first, you got 4 out of 20. You got 20% of the field, and none were drawn. Somebody in, I'll have to ask Andy. What the statistics are on that. Here we go.
Still plenty of major contenders for the Kentucky Derby, and important posts yet to go, and those outside posts are still available. So 10 spots to go. Ben Huffman will pull the entry sheet, and then Dan Bork will pull the pill. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen.
Number 12.
12, Enticed. Karen McLaughlin, Junior Alvarado.
Enticed. Won the Kentucky Jockey Club last fall here at Churchill Downs. Won the Gotham Stakes at Aqueduct. Looking for a first career win in the Kentucky Derby for Lexington, Kentucky-born trainer Kieran McLaughlin. And Godolphin still looking for its first Kentucky Derby victory. The Dubai-based powerhouse sending Enticed into this year's Run for the Roses. And Enticed draws number 12.
Number 9. 9,
Hofburg. Belmont, Irad Ortiz Jr.
Hofburg for Judmont Farms and trainer Bill Mott, Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott with post position number 9. Mott, until last fall, the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs. Among all those wins in his Hall of Fame career, has yet to win the Kentucky Derby, looking for his first victory at the track he dominated for so many years. Hofburg in number 9.
Number 16.
16, Magnum Moon, Todd Pletcher, Luis Saez.
Magnum Moon draws number 16. The first Todd Pletcher horse pops into the view here in Kentucky Derby 144. Magnum Moon unbeaten and again trying to beat the Apollo curse, as is Justify. The one of two entrants in this field that did not race at the age of 2. Magnum Moon, winner of the Arkansas Derby last time out. Perfect in 4 career starts and trying to become the first horse since 1882 to win the Derby as a three-year-old without having raced as two. Magnum Moon in number 16.
Number five.
Five, Audible. Todd Fletcher, Javier Castellano.
Audible, the winner of the Florida Derby. Another for Todd Fletcher in this Kentucky Derby, and it draws a positive reaction from the Audible camp. Trying to make history as Audible was bred in the state of New York. Only one other horse bred in New York has won the Kentucky Derby. That was Funny Side in 2004. Audible in post five.
Number two.
Two, Free Drop Billy, Dale Romans, Robbie Alvarado.
Number two, Free Drop Billy, one of two horses in this Derby, trained by Dale Romans, the Louisville native, looking for his first Kentucky Derby victory. Promises fulfilled, the likely pace setter in this race. Look for Free Drop Billy to be coming from off the pace for the Albaugh family stable. Free Drop Billy for Dale Romans in post number two.
Number 19.
Noble Indy, Todd Fletcher, Florent Giroux.
Noble Indy draws number 19, another of the Todd Fletcher trainees, and this one the winner of the Louisiana Derby, Noble Indy, in post number 19.
Number 20.
Combatant, Steve Asmussen, Ricardo Santana.
Combatant, stretch running colt, draws number 20. Has not run worse than fourth in any of his races this year. Steve Asmussen in the last two Kentucky Derbies has finished third with eventual Horse of the Year Gunrunner. And last year, second with Looking at Lee. Steve Asmussen gaining on it, Combatant in post number 20.
Number 18.
18, Vino Rosso, Todd Fletcher, John Velasquez.
Vino Rosso. From post number 18, winner of the Wood Memorial, and another trained by Todd Fletcher. This one owned by Mike Rapoli and in partnership with Vincent Viola, who won last year's Kentucky Derby, is one of the partners in Always Dreaming. So Mr. Viola trying for two in a row with Vino Rosso from post number 18.
Number eight.
Solomini.
Lone Sailor.
Ooh.
Tom Amos, James Graham.
Nope.
Lone Sailor, based at Churchill Downs for trainer Tom Amos and owned by the family of the late Tom Benson, the longtime owner of the New Orleans Saints, who passed away just a few months ago. If you're looking for a little Derby magic, Tom Benson will be looking down on Lone Sailor coming down the stretch in the Kentucky Derby, and Lone Sailor draws post number eight. And I don't think we have much drama on this one, but go ahead, gentlemen.
Number 17.
17, Solomini, Bob Baffert, Flavian Pratt.
Solomini. Number 17, and that completes the board, the last set of silks to go up there. Solomini has terrific connections, obviously trained by four-time Derby winner Bob Baffert and among his owners, Ahmed Zayat, who was the man who owned American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner from 3 years ago. Solomini completes the Derby field at number 17. Again, taking it from top to bottom, look at it there on the board here in the post-position draw for the Kentucky Derby presented by Ram Trucks, Firenze Fire number one. Free Drop Billy, number two, right alongside his stablemate. Promises fulfilled. In number three, Flame Away is four. Audible is number five. Good Magic, number six. Justify, we'll see where he is in the morning line with Mike Battaglia in just a couple of moments. He draws number seven. Lone Sailor is eight. Hofberg, number nine. Number 10, My Boy Jack. Bolt Doro, number 11. Number 12 is Enticed. Number 13, Bravazo Mendelssohn. In number 14, In Still Regard is the 15. And then Magnum Moon in number 16, Solomini the 17, Vino Rosso in number 18, Noble Indy in number 19. And on the outside gate, Combatant completes the field. Again, one also eligible in this Kentucky Derby. He will be number 21 of the program, Blended Citizen. And if there should be a defection from the Derby between now and 9 a.m. on Friday, he will have the opportunity to draw into the field for the Run for the Roses. So the field is set. Take a look at the silks. Consider the strategies. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with oddsmaker Mike Battaglia, who will provide the morning line for this year's 144th running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Gentlemen.
We'll stay right here and we'll wait for Mike Battaglia, but certainly from a draw standpoint, I think the only quote unquote bad draw, I think you'd have to say Nobilindi from the 19. He wants to be forward going, so certainly Florent Giroux is going to have to go forward and find some position. And the interesting draws of both the 2 and the 20. Free drop Billy drawing the 2, he's going to come from out of it anyway, and so no real harm to the inside draw, and that is a little notable. Firenze Fire, actually, Paco Lopez is probably going to just want to get out and move over a little bit so that Firenze Fire doesn't get squeezed into the turn. You know, the horses come down on you, and the horse from the 1 hole and the 2, they're staring at the inside rail where the chute meets the main track, and so they do have to get a little bit of position or completely drop out of it, and so we'll see what Alvarado and Romans and Lopez and Service decide to do on that front. But then you look at Combatant, he's going to come from out of it, so the 20 hole, look for Santana to basically let the field clear in front of him, and then he'll make his way down toward the inside to save ground. So Combatant did not crushed by the 20 by any stretch, but Nobilindi, Vino Rosso doesn't, they both will have to figure something out a little bit. I mean, Nobilindi is a horse that expects to be part of the quote-unquote vanguard, and so that's an aspect to keep an eye on. Magnum Moon also from the 16. So Magnum Moon, Nobilindi, principally for Pletcher. Vino doesn't have to. He isn't hurt by the 18, really. Who else ended up with some interesting slots that bear some conversation? No, everything else is okay. Lone Sailor didn't matter. Also, he's gonna come from off. Good Magic drew very well, the 6. I'm sure that Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz are thrilled. Let's go back to John and to Mike Battaglia for the odds.
The horse is set for this year's Kentucky Derby with the 1 also eligible. And now it's time to find out what the odds might look like. Ladies and gentlemen, recently inducted into the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame and the Hall of Famer in our eyes for many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Battaglia with the morning line for this year's Kentucky Derby. Mike.
Thank you, John. First of all, I'd like to congratulate all the connections for just getting here. That's a great accomplishment, just getting a horse here to the Kentucky Derby. You all should give yourselves a hand because that is an accomplishment. And also, this is really a good field this year. Really a good field. All right, from the top down, Firenze Fire, Paco Lopez, one of the outsiders in here at 50-1. Free Drop Billy, late runner, Alvarado rides him, 30-1 on Free Drop Billy. The other, Dale Roman's horse, they drew right together. The horse figures to be in front, promises fulfilled. Corey Lannery, 30-1 there. Flame Away, Jose Lezcano and Cassie at 30-1. Audible with Castellano up there at 8-1. Then we got Good Magic. Chad Brown coming off that great meet at Keeneland. Jose Ortiz aboard 12-1 on Good Magic. Favorite is the 7, Justify. Mike Smith, Bob Baffert looking for another one. 3-1 on the line for Justify. The 8, Lone Sailor, James Graham at 50-1. The 9, Hofburg, Bill Mott. Bill Mott runs a horse that's eligible for non-winners of 2 in the Derby. You got to watch him. I read Ortiz, 20-1. My Boy Jack with DeSormo at 30-1. Bolt Doro, very game behind Justify last time out with Espinoza at 8-1. Big price on Bolt Doro. The 12 Enticed with Junior Alvarado at 30-1. Bravazo, the coach, Wayne Lucas, he's about due for another one. Contreras aboard at 50-1. He's won with long shots before. The 14 is Mendelsohn, Ryan Moore, Aiden O'Brien. The big question mark that is going to be the second choice in the line at 5-1. Big race, just a huge race last time. 15, Instilled Regard with Van Dyke at 50-1. Magnum Moon, undefeated, one of four Pletchers, Luis Saez, third choice, 6-1. Solomini, the other Baffert, Flavian Pratt at 30-1. Vino Rosso with Johnny V aboard in there at 12-1. Noble Indy, Florent Giroux at 30-1. And Combatant with Santana from the barn of Steve Asmussen at 50-1. And we do have the also eligible Blended Citizen with Frey aboard at 50-1. John.
Mike, as we were getting ready for this, and we talked about this over the last couple of days, I know you've worked hard on it and been talking with a lot of people. Any big? You didn't get a curveball with a favorite here with Justify. Any curveballs whatsoever? Any changes affect that the post draw affected?
No curveballs. I made the line prior and kept it. I was waiting for, you know, if Justify would have drawn the rail, I would have had to change it. If the second or third choice had drawn there, I might have even made Justify a shorter price with his 7 draw. But as it was, I didn't change anything. Just may the best horse win.
All right, the Kentucky Derby morning line is brought to you by TwinSpires.com, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. We appreciate Mike being here. Mike, how much did you go back and forth on the favorite here? Again, you got a horse that's been dominant, but only 3 career starts. Didn't race at 2. Did you change anything at any point?
No, this horse was actually 3-1 in the last pool here in pool 4. And I kind of went by that, and he ought to be, you know, there were 24 betting interests there, 20 now. I think he'll be 3-1. If anything, he might be a little less.
Just a quick note, non-technical note. You've done this morning line for a long time. How much fun might this Derby be?
This is a great one. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Battaglia. Thank you, Mike. We got a third Spire at Churchill Downs. It might be Mike. He's been here for a while. Thank you so much for being here. Good luck to all the participants in Saturday's Kentucky Derby. It's going to be a marvelous race. We have much to look forward to. Wishing everyone the best of luck. We're looking for a nice, I always tell you, sunny 75 at Churchill. We'll be shooting for that on Saturday. A fast track and a great classic mile and a quarter in the 144th Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve. We're so happy to have our new presenting sponsor, Woodford Reserve, an institution like Churchill Downs here in Louisville since around 1870 or so. Great.
Well, there you go. And we thank John Asher and absorbing the numbers. And we already provided at least a bit of a feel for who ended up where. And I thought that looking at when it was down to Solomini and Lone Sailor, I thought that Solomini would end up with the 8-hole, and I laughed a little bit just because Baffert does not like, in any kind of race, let alone Derby, does not like to have his horses drawn next to each other. There's nothing that would have been, I suppose, after drawing the 1-hole for certainly for Justify, the next concern was drawing shoulder to shoulder. And so Lone Sailor ends up with that 8-hole. And notably for Solomini, at least one number down, the 17 American Pharoah, you recall, left from the 18, actually wore the 18, left from further inside because of scratches. But 17 for Solomini, and of course the 18. I'll never forget that. I'd been unsure about who might win the race until that draw, and not because it was a safe draw. It was because of the number, and I've mentioned this before in Jewish numerology. The 18 is Chai, which is good luck, and I knew that Zayat would also take it, that he would take it as a sign that American Pharoah had been had been kind of blessed a little with the 18 with Chai. So funny. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and reset. I'll run down the field for you, and I should mention at the top of the hour, going to be joining Ed DeRosa, Donna Brothers, and Gary Young. The four of us will do some instant analysis, and we'll be right there on that same feed. So I'll jump in and take a seat amongst the group, and we'll see what all everybody thinks of how the field came together. So let's step away, and then we'll run it down. I'm sure some of you wrote these down, and we'll let you fill in the blanks, but you can, for starters, note the single-digit prices justify 3-1 from the 7-hole, and Mendelsohn second choice at 5-1, Magna Moon third choice at 6-1, Bolt Doro and Audible co-fourth choices at 8-1, and then up to Good Magic and Vino Rosso at 12-1. And 12-1 on Good Magic is going to, we'll talk about that. It's probably going to come down a little bit, and very interesting board. And it seems like a very reasonable line from Mike Battaglia. We'll see if we can't raise John White, too, who we've been trying, and to get his thoughts back after this to Churchill Downs. Your field for the Derby is set. The rest of the 14-race card to be drawn in a little bit in the racing office, and by probably about 5 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be able to print the PPs and start to really dig in, and already set with a wonderful Friday. And, of course, racing today from Churchill, and there's actually a very good double around the feature. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now,
back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to fill out day two here, Derby week, and the Tuesday draw for the Derby gives everybody an extra 24 hours to absorb not just this field, but everything that came yesterday, the 13 race card for Friday, and the rest of the action that'll come together today and should make for 72 hours when it comes to Saturday. Not everybody can play on Friday, of course, but John White, I know you'll be playing both days. And, John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Always very exciting to watch that Kentucky Derby draw because, as I've said on your show before, it's the most important post position draw of any race that's run in the United States each year. And that's because of the 20-horse field and because of the fact that, unlike the times when we used to have 13, 12, 14 horses, even 15, 60, with the 20 horses where they have the two gates, that one and two you're just dreading and hoping that you don't get. I think that everybody pretty well came out of this, though, really. I mean, this is about as good as you could hope for everybody, I would say, for the post position draws. I know that Bob Baffert would prefer to be further out than seven, but again, he didn't get like the dreaded one or two, and especially the one we're looking at Lucky got creamed coming out of that one. And the last horse to win out of post seven was Street Sense, so we'll see if Justify can follow in the footsteps of Street Sense and win from post seven. No horse has ever won from post 17, and that's the other Bob Baffert trainee in the race, Solomini. And it was interesting. Solomini was the last horse to get a post position, and then he got and he gets 17, which is a shutout in the history of the Kentucky Derby. But the 19 hole was shut out in the Kentucky Derby until I'll Have Another had it, and I'll Have Another was my big horse that year. Picked him in the Express Bet wager guide. I had him in the future book. Really liked him that year, and I was sitting on the HRTV set next to Millie Ball for that Kentucky Derby draw when I'll Have Another drew post 17. I'm 19. I will not repeat on your air what I said, what I uttered, because it was profane. Let's face it, it was profane. But by the time I got home, I said to my wife, "Look, if I'll Have Another's the horse I think he is, he'll win. If he doesn't win, it's not because of the 19 hole." And a lot of people keep saying that they feel like that Bodemeister's pace got him beat. I keep saying, if the pace got Bodemeister beat with Trenneberg in the Kentucky Derby, when Trenneberg wasn't in the Preakness and they went a 16th of a mile shorter, why didn't Bodemeister beat I'll Have Another that day? So to me, I'll Have Another was just a better horse than Bodemeister, and they were both very good. But they ran their hearts out in the Preakness and never ran again after that. But I would say, Steve, everybody really came out of this. There wasn't one of these ones where you look at it and you say, boy, somebody really got a bad post in terms of really decreasing their chances to win this race. I mean, Noble Lindy you talked about, and he would be one that I'm sure that they're not thrilled to be in 19. But as I said, I'll Have Another one from out there. And at least with his tactical speed, I would say Noble Lindy, he should be able to get in somewhat of a decent position out there. Again, like Bob Baffert says, you're better off toward that outside than being crunched, down on the inside where you could get absolutely massacred with the traffic. So even Noble Lindy, while it might not be their preference, I don't think it's like a disaster.
The most important element of this field of 20 is
justify being able to set up shop with the two speeds inside of him, promises fulfilled and flame away. Then, however, on the flip side are the horses to his outside that are going to benefit Bolt Doro and Mendelssohn. If anything, Ryan Moore also gets a circumstance where he can go forward and keep more or less keep Justify either in sight or even come toward Justify and try to make life difficult for him and Mike Smith into the first turn. And I think that that's going to have to be watched. Mendelssohn with a clean break probably goes a little bit, I think he was going to go forward somewhat anyway, but you get the sense that this gives him some tactical advantage over Justify. For those that are going to distill this down to the two of them at the start of the conversation, so Justify benefits from having speed drawn inside of him, but then is also going to have to be well aware and brace for the potential pressure that could be applied from Bolt Doro, from Bravazo, and from Mendelssohn. And I'll make one other suggestion. And of course, Noble Indy from even further out. That gives you a phalanx spread out across the track of, let's say, five or six horses. And Mike Smith could take another option, and that is to set up shop on the rail and let those speeds go and sit fifth or sixth. It doesn't feel like something that Baffert necessarily would tactically or specifically go for. However, watching that workout the other day, you get the sense that Justify will be quite content to let some horses go ahead and do some heavy lifting in front of him.
That's a good point, and I think that's a possible scenario. If you gave an award for the horse that got the best post position, to me, it would be Mendelssohn, because Mendelssohn gets the final spot in the first gate, and there's the space between the 14 and the 15, so that's a plus for him too, especially being a European. And you're right, there's the speed toward the outside is something that could come into play for Justify. But you know what? The way I'm kind of seeing this shake out, Free Drop Billy, I expect, you know, barring that he somehow hesitates at the start or stumbles or something. I mean, if Free Drop Billy breaks cleanly, there he goes. So, and that's pretty simple. The whole world knows that. But you know,
You mean promises fulfilled.
I'm sorry, you're right. Promises fulfilled. Exactly. Promises fulfilled. Good thing you have my back. That's it. But the thing about Justify, you know, Millie Ball made a point here on XBTV that I thought was very interesting, and I think there's an element of truth to this, and that is I think that Justify's got even more speed than we've seen that they just haven't even had to use. That's how talented he really is. And if Free Drop Billy, for some reason, Promises Fulfilled, for some reason, comes out, doesn't get out of there all that great, to me, Justify, you could very easily see on the lead. Not that Smith's gunning him, but just on his pure natural talent. You know, that Smith will ask him enough from there. You know, I can see Smith, his comment would be something to the extent, I hope we jump away well. Well, he'll want to get out of there, obviously. And once Justify gets going on his own, I think he's got the natural speed here that he could either be in front, depending on the Promises Fulfilled situation, or Promises Fulfilled, as I expect, will dart to the front. I think Smith can sit there pretty close, and I question myself necessarily whether these other horses really have the speed to Justify. I really envision Justify getting a really good trip in this race unless something untoward happens to him, which if that were to happen to Justify, it really doesn't matter pretty much where he breaks. You know, in other words, Mark Cassie made this comment during the draw, and the point is no matter where you draw, you need the luck coming away from the gate, and that's true. It doesn't matter if you're inside, outside, in the middle. You can get crunched and wiped out in the middle just as well. So the key with Justify is he comes, just gets out of that gate in decent shape, and I think he's going to be sitting in a very beautiful position early. I can really see this. I think that puts him to have an excellent chance to be first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. That's one of the most important factors to me in the Kentucky Derby, because 52 of the last 55 winners have been first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. And the horse that I think has the best chance to be first or second with an eighth of a mile to go is Justify. And once he's, if he's in that position, I find it very hard that he's going to lose this race, despite the fact he didn't run a two, and despite the fact he'd be only the third horse in history to win this race having made three or fewer career starts, the two being Regret in 1915 and the other Big Brown, you know, more recently, who came out of post 20. I agree with you. If I were making the line, and I think it's a very solid line, I think Mike Battaglia, there's nothing here that I'd say, wow, this is really out of whack. No, no. It's a solid morning line. But to nitpick, I would say Good Magic, I would have put him in single digits. You can feel the support coming for Good Magic here. And if you lower him, you're going to have to raise some others to balance your line. I would be kind of inclined, the horse that I'm kind of getting, that's getting a little less support as we're getting closer to the race, is Magnum Moon. So I wouldn't be so keen on having him at six. I might have him like at eight. And I'm not so sure about Mendelsohn, how much betting he's going to get either. You know, he's such a show up at the last minute, and there's, you know, the question of the UAE Derby and so forth, and the race is long ago enough now that it's kind of a little bit out of sight, out of mind, like the Louisiana Derby tends to get. So the horse that I think that would be lower for sure, if I could like bet on an over and under on any of these lines on the morning line, I would definitely take the under on the 12-1 on Good Magic.
Yeah, I can't argue either. That was the first one that kind of jumped at me. How many? Four single digits, right? 3-1, 5-1, six, actually five single digits. And when you look at the charts, John, you don't. There's not going to be five. There's not going to be six single digit horses.
That's right. And
they'll be
but you know,
four.
The tricky part for the line is which one of those ones, and see, his opinion is Good Magic's going to be in the double digits, and I honestly might even be more inclined to put Magnum Moon up there, which at one, when I gave you the line 2 weeks ago, my line, I had him co-second favorite, but you know, I'm just really getting this feeling. I'm not saying a lot of people say they like Magnum Moon in this race. I think part of it is the way he was drifting out in the Arkansas Derby. I think that bothers people, and I'll be honest, it bothers me. And, you know, he doesn't even have a triple-digit buyer's feed figure. You know, when we're in such a quality, deep field like this year, and let's face it, coming into this, it appears to be one of the strongest Kentucky Derby fields of our lifetime, maybe in history. And so if you don't even have a triple-digit buyer at this point, and it's not to say that Magnum Moon can't win this thing. He's obviously very talented. He shipped to that quirky Tampa Bay Downs and won there. That race, he's very good, but I don't really hear, and one thing about your show, you can kind of get a sense when you ask people for their thoughts. You know, and my ear is always to the ground. I guess that's my morning line mentality, because it isn't just handicapping the horses. It's handicapping the people in their thoughts of the horses as a morning line maker. And as I say, I'm really getting this Good Magic, you know, the way he's trained with Brown, third start off the layoff. He is the champ. I think, you know, he's going to get some play here for sure. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. So, but, you know, this is, and incidentally, while I'm picking Justify to win, if Justify doesn't win, the horse, I feel, has as good a chance as any to win this race, and I believe it to my core, is My Boy Jack. And he's 30-1 on the line, and the last horse to win from post 10 won it and came from way back and was 50-1, and that was Giacomo. So I find that interesting, that the horse that I think is really dangerous at the big price is coming out of the same post as Giacomo, who beat me with closing argument, who I had at 71-1. And so my boy Jack, and I think my boy Jack has a very good chance to hit the board. I really see him in the superfecta here. So I think at the mile and a quarter, that's really going to, and people say, you know, well, maybe that's too far for him. And I'm just not in that camp because, yes, he flattened out in the Louisiana Derby, but that's because he was out in the parking lot on the far turn. And Keith DeSormo has said that horse, he said, you know, I loved what Keith DeSormo has said about this, and that is that Keith said, my brother, Hall of Fame jockey, Kent DeSormo, has given me many a genius ride through the years, but that wasn't one of them. He said, he cost me that race. And I like someone that's that brutally frank about it. And when he was asked, why did he cost you that race? He says, because it's like if you're in a car. He says he didn't need to go from 0 to 60 as like he did. If he makes a more gradual move, he says, I think he would have won. So as wide as he was, the circumstances of that race, I think, played into why he flattened out. And the Lexington was a total prep. They only ran him there to make sure he gets in the race. It's very difficult to back up from a mile and an eighth to a mile and a 16th when you're a come-from-behind horse. And yet he did make a more gradual rally there. And this Telekinesis, who he beat there, I think is a very talented colt for Stone Street and Mark Cassie. And he was kind of toying with him, it looked to me, in the final yards of that race. And to me, it might be beneficial for my boy Jack to have that race this close to the Kentucky Derby because these days everybody's coming in so fresh that this is old school. You know, we used to watch horses like Secretariat come out of the Wood Memorial that was run 2 weeks before and run in the Kentucky Derby, and even closer than that, the Bluegrass and even the the Twin Spires purse and that type of thing. Horses used to come back in a week and so forth. And I think at the plus for my boy Jack is that Keith DeSormo doesn't have to train him nearly as hard as the other guys that have to kind of wind their horses back up when they have the gap between their final race before the Kentucky Derby and the Derby. So my boy Jack has got what they like to say, you know, a turn of foot, and that's acceleration. And he's got acceleration to me that enables him to rally early enough in this race to be first or second at the eighth pole. That's the key. The eighth pole with an eighth of a mile to go. I think my boy Jack has the capability to be in that spot. And I could see Justify, you know, being the leader at the eighth pole with maybe my boy Jack coming on. And then it's just a question. I would be surprised if my boy Jack could catch Justify in that scenario. But that would be, to me, a very possible Kentucky Derby exacta there of Justify and my boy Jack.
John, did you go run your four down in the wagering guide? Top four.
Justify, my boy Jack, Mendelsohn, and Bolt de Oro. And, you know, I'm probably crazy for having Mendelsohn either in my four because it seems like you should have him either first or out of the top four. But I like to rank my horses more to how I feel who has the best chance to win more than trying to pick the superfecta cold. And so for me, Mendelsohn, and look, Mendelsohn, I don't think is necessarily a win or not hit, you know, be in the superfecta type. I think there's a chance that he runs well enough to be in the top four. I don't think that's out of the question, but most people are of this mind. That's why I think his price might be a little better than Mike Battaglia made him, because it seems like you're either in on Mendelsohn or you're totally against him. And people aren't really necessarily throwing him in to be second, third, or fourth. And I like being against, you know, the crowd sometimes. That's how you do well in gambling. And so the fact that most of the world thinks that he can't, but probably won't run second, third, or fourth makes me think, you know what, I think he could run second, third, or fourth. So, and Bolt de Oro is the horse. He's been so hard, and I think Steve Haskins been in the same boat. He's been, like, really hard. It seems like more if you were charting him, he would be up and down all spring to where I really am on him, then I'm not on him, and I'm on him. And coming as we get closer to it, I'm kind of getting back on him for sure. I didn't like his penultimate work. I thought he went way too fast early and was pushed hard late, but I loved his final work for the race. And, you know, he's got the speed figures to win it. That raw 113, by or speed figure from the front runner, you know, that would be good enough to win most Kentucky Derbies, a 113 Beyer. And that was his raw number. Even Andy Beyer says it. He makes the numbers. He said it was the raw number, and he originally lowered it to 100 and then retroactively raised it to 103. But that 113 has always stuck in my mind. It shows you what he's capable of doing. And that Bolt to Oro, to me, is definitely a big-time player in this race.
I agree. John, I appreciate it. And we'll watch for John's updates on the ExpressBet Kentucky Derby Wagering Guide. I will join Ed DeRosa and Gary Young and Donna Brothers now if you want to watch the feed from KentuckyDerby.com. Look forward to tomorrow, 9 o'clock, heavy-duty analysis. Andy Serling will be here. Paul Matisse will join us as well. We'll do the handicapping via Pedigree with Sid Fernando. And, of course, want to thank the visits from Jack Wolf and John and Maury Wolf, as well as Billy Rappaport. Few hours, you'll have your fields, folks. And if you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 Sirius XM. SteveBick.com, archive podcast stream. Racing in a little bit. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XVTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.